If you lose, you go home. Sure, it's a cliche, but sometimes it's simply not true. Sometimes you go home to take a stand against prejudice and intolerance, even when you're good enough to be a champion. In 1934, the American Legion All-Star Baseball Team in Springfield, Massachusetts, won the New England Championship, thereby earning the right to compete in the Eastern Regionals in Gastonia, North Carolina. But for the presence on the Springfield team of Bunny Taliaferro, that might not have led to much of a story. In early 2014, I spoke with Richard Anderson, the author of a children's book titled A Home Run for Bunny, and with illustrator Gerald Purnell. I asked Anderson to tell me how he learned about Bunny Taliaferro and the team for which he played.
A former student of mine from the Springfield College School of Human Services was riding her bicycle through Forest Park in Springfield. It was a hot day, and she sat down on a bench to rest. And when she looked up, she was looking at a stone monument, and she read the words on the monument. And as she was reading, she thought, I know someone who would like this story. She called me on her cell phone. She read the words on the monument word for word. And as she was reading the story of the 1934 Post-21 team, I imagined the whole thing as a children's story.
Gerald, the book is beautifully illustrated. What drew you to the story, no pun intended, as an illustrator?
As soon as I heard the story, I was delighted to be asked to be involved in it. I thought it was a good opportunity to show kids the diversity that existed. This is 75 years ago. Mm-hmm. And to have a group of kids playing together and sticking together as a team was pretty significant. So I sort of jumped at the opportunity to illustrate it.
Richard, I'm going to read just a couple of sentences from the book. We knew something was wrong just after the train pulled into Gastonia. The band that had been playing walked off as soon as they saw Bunny step onto the platform. And then the bus pulled away, leaving us stranded, and we had to carry our bags and equipment all the way to the hotel. Tell us a little bit about what happened next when the team got to their hotel.
They were told that their rooms were ready and they could check into them, but not Bunny Taliaferro, not the one black player on the team. The hotel had made arrangements, as it had done in the past, for Bunny to stay with what was referred to then as a local Negro doctor's family. The coach of the team, Coach Babe Steer, refused to allow this to happen. He said that Bunny was a member of the team, and where the team went, that's where Bunny went. A discussion followed, and finally, it was resolved that Bunny could stay at the hotel, but he had to be listed as Coach Steer's valet. He had to sleep on a cot. He couldn't sleep in a bed reserved for white people. And no one in the hotel could mistake him for one of the ball players. He had to look and act like the coach's valet.
Despite the prejudice, the team goes out onto the ball field to practice, and Bunny is the first member of the Springfield team to pick up a bat. I'm going to read a little bit more from the page that describes that. Bunny was the first to make a move. He grabbed his bat, stepped up to the plate, and started taking cuts at imaginary pitches. When Coach Steer told us to take our positions on the field, for once, I was glad to be warming the bench. More threats and jeers filled the air as Coach made his way to the mound. Batter up, he called. Bunny lined the first pitch over the left field fence. That silenced the crowd, but only for a second. Coach Steer threw his second pitch, and Bunny airmailed that one out of the park, too. Special delivery to the people of Gastonia. The more noise the crowd made, the smoother Bunny swung. He hit 6 home runs on 6 pitches. And that's when it started raining soda bottles, tin cans, and half-eaten hot dogs.
Yes, this was an extraordinary feat. And if you remember up to this point, Bunny has no voice in what's happening to him. The band leaves the platform, the bus pulls away, he can't stay at the hotel. He feels guilty, he feels ashamed, he feels responsible for what's happening to the other members of the team. 2,000 people showed up at this practice to jeer the players, to threaten them with things that were beyond their imagination. And then Bunny came up to the plate. He hit 6 home runs on 6 pitches, and not just home runs. He hit the ball out of the park. It's absolutely, to me and to Gerald, I know, extraordinary feat.
Oh, I love that. That was a very significant moment in the book.
Gerald, there is an especially striking illustration just before that point in the book. It's a close-up of what I assume is Bunny's eye. Could you describe that image for us?
Well, it talks about when the afternoon when they first got to the practice and there were 2,000 people showed up and they were jeering and they were screaming at Bunny and the team. When I thought about illustrating that, I didn't want to illustrate it in a way, this is a children's picture book, so I wanted to do it in a way that was respectful and in a way that would not be too hard for kids to understand what was going on. So I thought and eventually did do a very close-up of Bunny's eye and the reflection in the highlight of the eye. You can see the crowd. You can see some faces in the crowd yelling, and there's one little teardrop coming out of Bunny's eye. And I thought that might be just kind of significant way of portraying what he might have been going through, what he might have been feeling at the time.
Eventually, the teams from Maryland and Florida announce that they will not play in the tournament if Bunny participates, and the members of the Springfield team are faced with a decision. Richard, tell us about what that decision was and how they handled it.
The coach gave them a choice. There were two things they could do. They could play without Bunny, and the coach told them that he thought they were good enough to win without Bunny, and if they did win the tournament, they would go on to the national championships in Chicago. Or they could pack their bags and go home. The first person to speak was Captain Tony King, who at 95 years old is the sole surviving member of the team. And what Tony said on that night of August 23rd, 1934, he said, "Bunny is a member of the team. If he doesn't play, I'm not playing either." And every member of the team followed suit. They voted unanimously and without debate to go back to Springfield.
Richard Anderson is the author of A Home Run for Bunny, which features illustrations by Gerald Purnell. It's published by Illumination Arts. Richard, thank you very much for speaking with me.
Oh, thank you so much, Bill.
And Gerald Purnell, thank you for joining us as well.
Thanks, Bill. It was a pleasure being here. It was a pleasure talking to you.
A few months after my interview with Anderson and Purnell, listener John Alexander wrote Gastonia's mayor, John Bridgman. He suggested that after all these years, perhaps the mayor of Gastonia should write the mayor of Springfield in order to apologize for the shameful treatment of the Springfield team, which he did. It was, the mayor said, a learning moment and a fitting final chapter to the story of Bunny Taliaferro.